All right, everyone, welcome back. Ready for another deep dive? Today, we're going back in time to 1957, a fascinating legal case from California. And it really gets you thinking about how important it is to really think through those business partnerships.
Sounds intriguing.
Yeah. Picture this. It's San Francisco, post-war boom, construction everywhere. And these two guys, Kovacic and Reed, they see a golden opportunity remodeling kitchens for Sears.
Okay, a classic American dream scenario. What could go wrong?
Well, that's what we're going to find out.
Yeah.
So Kovacic, he's a licensed contractor, and he's got the money. $10,000 to invest.
Not bad for 1957. And Reed.
Reed. He's the skilled guy, superintendent, and estimator. Mm. Brings the labor to the table. They make this agreement pretty standard. Split the profits 50-50.
It seems straightforward enough.
But here's the catch, and this is where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
They never actually discussed, you know, what happens if they lose money.
Oh, that's not good. Never a good idea to leave that kind of thing to chance, especially in business.
Yeah, you would think, right? Like, common sense would say, if you're only putting in the work, the labor, you wouldn't be responsible for any financial losses.
Well, not so fast. The law sometimes has its own logic, and that's where this concept of implied agreement comes into play. It's not about what's written down. It's about what the parties intended, even if they didn't say it out loud.
So, like, reading between the lines of the partnership.
Yeah, kind of. The law tries to figure out what a reasonable person would assume based on the whole situation.
Interesting. So how did this implied agreement idea work out in this particular case with Kovacic and Reed?
Well, the initial court, they sided with Kovacic, said even though Reed only contributed his labor, he was still on the hook for half the losses. We're talking over $4,000.
Wow, that's a big chunk of change, especially back then. But their reasoning was that in a partnership, you share both the good and the bad, right? Profits and losses, even if your initial contributions were different.
Exactly. A lot of the cases they looked at involved both sides bringing something tangible to the table, you know, like money, property, that sort of thing.
So even though Reed never actually put up any cash, he's still on the hook just because he agreed to split the profits. That's kind of tough.
Yeah, it does seem a bit unfair. But here's the twist, and this is where it gets even more interesting. This case, it was different. It was money versus labor, pure and simple. And that made all the difference.
Okay, now I really want to know what happened next. You've got me on the edge of my seat.
Well, the appeals court, they actually overturned that initial ruling. They sided with Reed.
Really? So they said he wasn't responsible for those losses after all.
Exactly. They dug a little deeper and found other cases where if someone only contributed labor, they weren't liable for the money lost.
Wow. Okay. So justice for Reed. But this has got to be about more than just one guy getting out of debt, right? There's got to be a bigger picture here. Why is this case so important?
You're absolutely right. This case, it really clarified the law in California, especially for those situations where it's money versus labor in a partnership. Set a precedent for future cases.
Okay, I see. So it was kind of a landmark decision that changed how things are done.
Precisely. And, you know, it's a good reminder for everyone out there, clear contracts, they are key. Especially when you're talking about business partnerships, don't just assume things will work out. You got to spell it out, make sure everyone's on the same page.
Could agree more.
Now, before we dive deeper into this case, let's take a quick recap, make sure everyone's following along.
Yeah, good idea. So we've got these two guys, right? They want to remodel kitchens. One has the money, the other's got the skills. They agree to split the profits, but they kind of forget to talk about what happens if things go south.
Right. And then things do go south. Money's lost. And suddenly they're in this legal battle because they didn't really define their partnership clearly.
Right, right. And the big takeaway so far, thanks to the appeals court, is that if you only contribute labor, you might not be stuck covering those financial losses.
Exactly. They really highlighted the difference between tangible assets, you know, like that $10,000, and the value of skilled labor.
Got it. Okay, so we've set the stage. Now ready to really dig in. What was the appeals court's reasoning?
Yeah.
Why did this kitchen remodeling venture end up changing the legal landscape in California? I'm hooked.
Well, that's what we're going to get into next. All right. So the appeals court, they really dove into this idea of contributions and, you know, the risks mm-hmm. that come with each.
But they weren't just looking at the dollar amount. They were trying to get at, like, the essence of what each partner put into the venture.
Exactly, yeah. And in the source material, there's this crucial detail, right? Their initial agreement, it wasn't even a formal contract. It was just, you know, a conversation, casual. Kovacic basically said something like, look, I got about $10,000 to invest. You take care of the work. We split the profits 50-50.
Wow, so no lawyers, no paperwork, just a handshake deal. Seems kind of, I don't know, naive looking back, especially with that much money on the line.
Yeah, it really shows how important it is to plan ahead, you know, think things through. They were so focused on the potential profits, that excitement, that they kind of forgot about the what ifs, you know?
Right. What if we lose money? It makes you wonder what they were assuming, right? Like, did Kovacic think because he was putting up the cash, he was somehow protected if they lost money? And did Reed think his labor, like, wouldn't expose him to financial risk?
It's a really good question. And I mean, we can't know for sure what was going on in their heads, but the appeals court, they really tried to understand the risks tied to each contribution. It wasn't just about comparing, you know, apples and oranges. They were basically saying these are two completely different things.
So they were saying, okay, labor has value for sure, but it's different from putting up actual cash, hard cash.
Exactly. And to support their reasoning, they brought up all these other cases, precedents. There was this one case where one person put up the land for a venture and the other person, they provided the labor. The court said the person who put up the land, they couldn't demand money from the laborer if the land, like, lost value.
So the idea is if you contribute your work, your labor, you're already putting your time, your skills, your sweat on the line. If the venture fails, you've lost that investment, but you shouldn't automatically be, like, on the hook for financial losses too.
Right. It's all about, like, understanding the different kinds of risks that come with each type of contribution. Of course, this doesn't mean if you're contributing labor, you can never be held responsible for losses. There might be situations, you know, maybe outlined in a contract where that happens, but if there's no clear agreement, this case really sets a precedent.
It's amazing how this whole thing started with just a kitchen remodeling partnership, and it ended up, like, influencing how these kinds of cases are decided in California.
That's what's so interesting about law. One specific case can shape legal understanding in a much broader way. And that's why it's so important to stay informed, you know, get advice from experts, understand the law, especially when you're getting into business with someone.
It's a good reminder that, you know, these legal cases, they might seem kind of dry and technical sometimes, but there are real people behind them, real conflicts, and we can all learn from their experiences.
For sure. It's fascinating how a case from 1957 can still be relevant today. You know, this idea of clear communication, making sure you have good agreements, understanding the legal side of things, that's always going to be important for any partnership to succeed.
Definitely. So for our listeners who might be thinking about starting a business with someone, what are the key takeaways from this Kovacic and Reed story?
Number one, and I can't stress this enough, define everything clearly in your partnership agreement and get it in writing. Don't just rely on assumptions, verbal agreements, or hope that everything will, like, magically work out.
It's like creating a map for your business, right? You got to know where you're going, how to get there, and what to do if you hit a roadblock.
Yeah, exactly. And really think about the different types of contributions and what they mean. Money versus labor, that's just one example. You might need to think about intellectual property, equipment, or even, like, who has access to what networks. Everyone involved should know the value of what they're bringing and what the risks are.
So communication, being clear, and understanding the law, those are all key ingredients for a successful and legally sound partnership.
I couldn't agree more. And while cases like this are super helpful to learn from, remember, the best way to protect yourself is to get advice from a legal professional when you're setting up your business agreements. Don't leave it up to chance or assumptions. Get it in writing. Make it ironclad.
Solid advice. So yeah, this case might be from way back in 1957, but what it teaches us about partnerships and having clear agreements, that's timeless.
Absolutely. Laws might change over time, but being fair, being clear, and managing risk, those are always going to be important.
It's like a reminder that the law is always changing, and what people did decades ago, it might not fly in court today.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Laws evolve, interpretations shift, and new precedents are set all the time.
It's wild to think that this case, it didn't just, you know, settle things between these two guys. It actually ended up changing how the law looks at joint ventures in California.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't just about Kovacic and Reed. The decision, it it had this ripple effect, impacting how similar cases would be decided later on. It shows how one specific case can really shape legal principles and create new precedents.
So for everyone listening, what's the big lesson here? What can we learn from this whole kitchen remodeling story from way back in 57?
Oh, for me, the biggest takeaway is never, ever underestimate having a solid contract, one that's, you know, well-written. It's your protection, your roadmap, your peace of mind, all in one. It can seriously prevent so many legal headaches down the line.
I like that. It's like an insurance policy for your business.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think we've really explored this case from all sides now, the good, the bad, and the legally complicated parts. And it seems like we all agree that clear agreements are just crucial, especially when you're talking about money and sharing risks. You can't leave anything up in the air, or you might end up in a legal mess you never expected.
Couldn't agree more. Planning ahead, clear communication, and a little bit of a legal know-how, those are your best tools for a successful partnership.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground today with this 1957 case, and I think we've learned some really valuable lessons. It just goes to show that even something that seems pretty simple, like remodeling kitchens, can turn into this legal puzzle if you don't lay the groundwork properly.
It's been great breaking down this case with you. I always love looking at these older cases and seeing how much they can still teach us today.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone. And until next time, remember, keep those legal minds sharp and those contracts airtight.